The views and opinions expressed on Unlock Your Wealth Radio are those of the host, guests, and callers only, and not necessarily the views of Unlock Your Wealth Radio, Heather Wagon Halls, or Success Publishing International.
More willpower than a barefoot woman at a shoe sale. Able to stretch a single paycheck for an entire month. Makes money concepts easier than third grade math. Introducing your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Wagon Halls.
Work all day, stress all night. Take your mind off your money, focus on your life. Money don't matter or the stuff it bought. It's the way you think, not what you got, yeah.
Unlock Your Wealth Radio starts now.
Get your money mind right.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Happy Financial Independence Day and happy welcome to new season 16. I am so excited for this summer season. And we have incredible things coming up on today's show. I will be joined by my illustrious producer and country music sensation, Jeremy Shane Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
I have to get my little operatic voice tuned in.
Yes, please.
Wait, what was that? We just started the season and you're already attacking me. Goodness gracious. I knew I should have fired you last season. This week's key, we have acceptance and affirmation as we start our keys to riches all over again. We have a phenomenal money word of the day from Mr. Murphy. Why am I getting a dirty look?
You're not getting a dirty look.
Okay, well, it looked like I was getting a dirty look.
I'm just making sure you're not creeping up on that microphone.
Oh, because perhaps I was.
There
so,
you go.
We have a lovely money word of the day to kick off our season in the right way by paying attention to important things. We also have scary times for mortgages coming up with Minutes on Your Money, our trivia question from last week's show, which is become a voracious reader. We're going to talk about what we were doing. And this week's guest, I'm so excited, returning guest Danny Kofke, who joins us. You may remember him from a few seasons ago. He talked about how you can make it on a teacher's salary and still prosper. So we have so many great things coming up. Also, on our website at unlockyourwealthradio.com, we would love for you to take our survey. If you just surf over to the website and click on the survey button, a short survey will let us know what you're thinking about our show, what you like, what you don't like, and what you think would make it even better. By filling out this survey, it allows us to be more responsive and bring you more tools for you to help you. As always, we will talk about your money, credit, and how to get ahead in any economy. We will also show you how to manage your money easier, saving time and reducing stress, using these proven techniques for you to create unlimited wealth and happiness. I am so excited. What do you think? We got some good guests coming out this season, huh?
Yes, we do, actually.
Because we've had bad guests, I guess.
Well, it is an actuality. So there actually, we do have good guests.
Yes, I'm excited. We have some neat people coming up this season. So let's get into our show, shall we, by starting our trivia question. Insiders Club members are automatically entered in weekly giveaways. And if you are not a member, but you would still like to compete for fabulous prizes and great money management tools, all you have to do is answer this week's trivia question. Now, this week's trivia question is blank a day. If you remember when we were talking about our reading strategy, fill in the blank when I say blank a day, is how many pages or minutes you are supposed to commit to reading daily. So it's a number. So X number a day is how many pages of minutes, how many pages or minutes you are supposed to commit to reading from last week's key. Do you remember that?
Of course I do. So does it matter what I read?
No.
So what if I read so slow or don't interpret it so well, I have to read it that many times, the same thing. So instead of doing one X number of pages, I do the same page that many times.
Well, you have either this particular number of pages or that many minutes.
We're talking about reading, but are we talking about interpreting and understanding what it says? Oh.
You can factor in your comprehension time into the reading time thing. Then perhaps you won't read number of pages.
I got you there, didn't I? You didn't think about that.
Well, I didn't feel like I needed to. You either do one or the other. So if it's going to take you a long time, then go ahead and be repetitious. How's that for an answer?
Okay.
So if you want to win, you can do it one of three ways. You can call in, chat in, or email in to win. If you want to call in, that number is 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or you can email in to win. That's trivia at uywradio.com. Trivia at uywradio.com. Or if you are listening from our show page, feel free to hop in the chat room. I will be there, and I would be thrilled to take your potentially right answer so you can win. So good luck to you. So, Jeremy Shane, it is time for Minutes on Your Money. What do you have for us?
I've got a story here that states how the interest rates have gone up recently, and it's gone up quite a bit. It's going up at a record rate. It's one of the highest rate hikes in the last 26 years. The story here talks about a young couple who owns a house they've outgrown with their family, and they need to purchase a new house to have a bigger house for their family. And unfortunately, when they went to do so, or in the matter of a couple of days, the interest rates had gone up, and the house that they could afford, because the house they have now is worth about $145,000. And they figure they can afford one about $180,000 to $200,000. So therefore, when they went to purchase the house, because the interest rates had gone up, turns out they can afford less of a house because their payment every month mm-hmm. is larger, mm-hmm. is the interest. So therefore, they couldn't get the house that they intended to get. On the other side of the coin, when they sold their house, in order to sell it, they had to sell it for less than what it was worth. Because the people who were trying to buy it, because the interest rates went up, it affected the price of their house. They had to lower the price in order to sell it to hit the price point, the monthly budget of the next person who's purchasing it. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but like as you tell the story, it makes sense. But it raises a bunch of questions for me in my mind. One is, why didn't their mortgage lender qualify them over the current prevailing rate? That's like a mistake on his part or her part for not properly qualifying them. And that I see mistakes all over the place in this thing.
Yeah, it's kind of a not so wonderful story. But that's what happens when you're dealing with these type of situations, I guess.
Well, with regard to the interest rate and having to lower the price on their house, I mean, why didn't they just negotiate with another buyer?
It might have been the market in that area. I'm not defending them or defending the bank or anybody else, but there's lots of different situations that happen,
Yeah.
And obviously these stories don't always tell the whole everything.
It tells you what they want to hear, because it wasn't your headline scary something or other.
It says scary times hit mortgage shoppers by CNN Money. Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, see.
It says scary times, and then it shows a picture of a young couple smiling.
Yeah. Yeah, they look really scared there in that picture. How
frightened.
Funny is that? Well, that's your typical media, if it bleeds, it leads kind of thing. They've got to get us to read it somehow. So,
But I understand what they're saying. But people don't realize that, one thing affects another. It's cause and effect.
Right.
So.
Right. But the whole thing seems just so unfortunate yet avoidable. Because it's not like they're moving because of a job transfer. You know what I mean? So you would think that time would have been on their side a little bit more. But I guess that we can look to that. So when you go to apply for a home loan, especially if you think interest rates are going to be uncertain, and we have no idea what Bernanke is going to do with bonds coming up here. So given those considerations, you should think about incorporating a pad when you go to qualify for your mortgage, and qualify over whatever you think the rate is that you will get or that you're anticipating on getting. That's one thing. Another thing is not maxing out your budget. So if you currently pay, $1,000 a month in rent, and you're comfortable paying $1,000 a month in rent, you should use that as payment factor as your guide as to how much you should buy. Because it's not about the price of the home. What you clearly illustrated is your affordability of the mortgage.
Yes. Month to month, how much can you pay?
Right. But we have, there are other things that are, that go into consideration when we go to buy a home that we need to be cognizant of. And those things are not just how much can I afford, you know, because you can max out their ratio. I mean, some people can potentially pay, you know, $1,500 a month, but they're living, you know, beneath their means by renting at $1,000 a month. So just because you can afford $1,500 a month doesn't mean you should. So if you think about it in terms of affordability, then you can position yourself better and weather a storm in the event that the market moves like that on you.
Weren't you also saying just a minute ago when we were talking about maybe if they would have qualified for the loan first and went shopping for the home?
Mm-hmm.
That might, or at least, yeah, so at least they have, okay, their interest rate is locked in or whatever it is.
Yeah, when you get pre-approved, not pre-qualified, because pre-qualified anybody can do, but pre-approved where they've already pulled your credit and they checked your bank statements and they checked your pay stubs and they've calculated your affordability, and so they know beyond a shadow of a doubt what you can afford, you can do a rate lock. And that secures your mortgage note. I think that lenders have gotten complacent because rates have been so low for so long.
Yeah.
You know, but I tell you, I made more money in the mortgage business when a smoking deal on a 30-year fixed rate loan was 9.5%. I did loans all day, every day.
They are pretty low now because back in the 80s, didn't they hit 18%?
Oh, yeah. They were tough. And that was if you had good credit, it was 18%. If you had bad credit, you were over in the 20s.
But I remember my parents were looking at buying a house when I was younger, and it was less than $10,000. So, I mean, I'm not – houses back then, apparently, where I was, were a little cheaper than they are now in the place that I am.
Well, and, you know, but they were really cheap here because we're just about the same age. And my mom did buy one in the late 70s, and – the house was like $20,000 or something like that. Like, and those same homes are now like in the hundreds.
Yeah.
You know, because the neighborhood's still there. So,
not saying that 18% is good, but 18% on $10,000 is a whole lot different than 18% on $200,000.
Well, yeah. No, but it's, you know, 18% on $10,000, you know, over 30 years is more money than 4% on $150,000.
I'm strictly talking from a month-to-month thing.
Right, but I'm just saying, so yeah. Even month-to-month, your mortgage payment, you know, on that smaller amount of money because the interest rate is so high, it's going to be larger.
Yes.
So it's a consideration. But that's the way to protect yourself against that is to shop your loan first, determine your affordability, and then use that as your guide. Because you'll know how much you can afford, because you know how much you can finance. You know how much you have to put down. So everything is a known, so you're not going to be shopping out of your price range, and you can, you know, geo-target better. Whole neighborhoods and stuff that are in your economic viability zone. Well, thank you very much for that article. We have so much more in store coming up for you. We have Danny Kofke and Acceptance and Affirmation for this week's Key. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Commander Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Seminars. What I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Kathy Colby all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries. You sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Greenback is your neighborhood lender for auto title loans. We offer fast and easy cash title loans for cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Keep your car with title loans from $100 to $50,000. There are no year or mileage limits at Greenback. And we offer the cheapest rates in Arizona, guaranteed. For more information, visit greenbacktitleloans.com or call 480-926-6666.
Are you a referral partner of Unlock Your Wealth Radio? Would you like to promote your products and services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being a part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call 866-966-9420. That's 866-966-9420. Call now.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your maven of moolah, your purveyor of prosperity. Help me out, Jeremy Shane. What else am I?
Heather Awesome.
There you go. I like that. Actually, I was kind of like nervous for a moment because that look in your eye was like, uh-oh, did I just set myself up for another attack? So I'm Heather Awesome. Yay! So what do you have for our money word of the day?
I've got something we all love. I love it that we all love the money words of the day. These are all great things.
Like mandate.
Mandate. That's my money word of the day. Somebody wants me to define what mandate is. I will define it for you.
I want you to define it.
You do?
Why not?
Okay. Well, we'll have two money words of the day. The first one is my favorite money word of the day. It's not a money word. It's just a word. Mandate.
What
the
is
definition
it?
Of mandate as when two straight men go to dinner and a movie.
So let's make it a money word of the day. Who pays?
The man.
But there's two men.
Then they both pay it.
So it's like they go Dutch.
Yeah, they're going Dutch.
It's a man Dutch date.
Yeah.
Or a Dutch mandate.
Yeah.
Versus an American mandate.
Now let's see if anybody, you know, calls in or types in or whatever.
That's for you, Bergeron.
Yeah.
Brother B.
The mandate. Okay. I made that up myself. All right, so. The real one is credit agreement. That's basically a contract. It's a legal contract entered into by a financial institution and a debtor when he or she accepts a loan. And the contract obviously has to include the conditions of the loan, repayment terms, the interest rates, and blah, blah, blah. Any other relevant information?
Did it really say blah, blah, blah?
No, I put that in there. Because that's what it says. I mean, seriously, there's pages and pages and pages and pages. You're bored by the time you get done.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the blah, blah summary.
You're welcome.
So that makes me think of the conversations that I was having today as I was interviewed on someone else's radio show.
Yeah, and you were.
I know. I'm so famous in my own little world.
Yep. In your four walls.
Yes. Yes. That's me. I am emperor of my domain. But we were talking about money mistakes on this particular show, and we were talking about not reading the fine print or any print at all, just taking whomever your sales representative's point of view as being the gospel of how something's going to work. And then the problem is when things go awry, then you reach for your credit agreement as you try to dispute something, and then you're SOL because you're like, oh, I'm actually not protected. I actually didn't understand my obligation. And then, whoops, now you're socked for big money. So
I always just figure most contracts are pretty much the same. Some are a lot more detailed than others, but for the most part, either do this or you're in trouble.
Well, you know, do this and we'll do this. And if you don't do this, then these are the consequences for sure. You got to have a meeting of the minds. You have to define, you know, good consideration, which is the value of the contract. So, well, that's a good money word of the day.
Mandate?
Exactly.
Mandate's pretty good. I like that one.
I thought it was very clever on your part. You can obviously tell you're a songwriter.
Yeah, I should use that.
Yes. Oh, you know what else you should do? I think this is a good time that we should share with the listeners, because we've been talking about you being a fabulous country music star. And you.
I didn't talk about it.
Well, I did. I'm a fan. What can I say? So maybe perhaps now we should play your montage to kind of tease the audience about your upcoming little album. What do you think?
That sounds like a deal. Hold on. Let me cue it up here just a minute.
Holding.
Hey, I'm over here.
Hey, roll up the windows. I'm going to turn on the radio.
This stuff sucks. Change it.
Yeah, it does. There's got to be something decent on here somewhere.
You're listening to Jeremy Sharon, 102.5.
Love me. Hey, how's that?
There you go. No, never mind. I don't like that one. Jeez, is that the only guy on the radio? Who is that?
That's Jeremy Shane. He's everywhere nowadays. Ooh, I like this one. Do you?
Yeah, leave it there.
Watch for the cover project by Jeremy Shane at JeremyShaneMusic.com.
This is how it's gonna go. I'm leaving today. There's nothing you can do. Nothing left to say.
Man, I get so excited whenever I hear that.
Yeah, isn't it sweet?
It's cool. I like how you put the heels. That's totally me, clicking and walking in my heels. Click, 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 click.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. So anyway, that will be available on JeremyShaneMusic.com if you want to listen to it again. And then the forthcoming album,
it will be coming up. We're going to probably put out an EP first because we can.
Because we can.
And then as it comes up, we'll have more.
Okay. Well, on behalf of the other fans and soon-to-be fans, I'm going to say get that pencil writing so the rest of them will be done so we can hurry up and listen to your fabulous tunes.
Oh, they're all done.
Okay. Well, chop then.
Just finishing them up.
Make it happen. So we have a great interview. I'm so excited for Danny Kofke because he is a returning guest, and I am looking forward to seeing his progress. He is a special education teacher from Georgia. He's also taught kindergarten, preschool, first and second grades, and his love of teaching is what has driven him to the books that he's written. And the first book that he put out that we interviewed him on was How to Survive and Perhaps Thrive on a Teacher's Salary. And it was amazing to listen to this one man's journey who obviously is hungry and money motivated and wants to provide for his family, but realizes the limitations of a teacher's salary. And we got to listen to how him and his wife made some really tough personal life decisions by choosing to have her stay at home and raise children. And so it'll be great to catch up with him to see where he is today and talk about his second book he released, which was A Simple Book of Financial Freedom, Teach Yourself and Your Kids How to Live Wealthy with Little Money. I'm so excited to have Danny on today. Welcome to the show, Danny. It's so good to have you back.
Hi, Heather. Thank you so much for having me back on.
Well, I'm just excited to see the progression of what you have been accomplishing. So when we talked the last time, you were telling everybody how you can live on a teacher's salary. And I know that probably half the listeners couldn't believe that. And being the most, you know, undersold profession that we have, but yet the most critical to our whole entire country's future. It's disappointing that you even had to write a book like that, but I'm thrilled that you were able to communicate your mindset. You know, now that the book has been out, what kind of feedback have you been receiving?
Well, I mean, most of it has been positive. There has been some, you know, some negative things because, we'll say, in that book, it kind of details my story on how we got to the point where my wife was able to be a stay-at-home mom, and after we had, at that time, one child. And actually, I started that book, wrote it basically in 2005, and then by the time I found a publisher and the book came out, it was in 2007. So it was just basically our story. And at that time, I think Tracy had been able to stay at home for 1 year. And we did have different circumstances. We both, beginning of our teaching careers, we taught overseas in an international school, and we were able to make a little more money. We moved from Florida to Georgia when the housing market was still good. So, I mean, there were some things that people said, you know, in general, like, well, you know, you guys did do some things that not everyone is able to do. So that is kind of where the criticism came from. And that is actually one of the things that prompted me to write another book, just to not really share our story necessarily, but just to give some good advice to help people handle money better.
And, you know, it's amazing that people would be critical because for that reason say, well, not everybody could do that. Yeah, and I almost want to disagree with them. You know, you made your choices. It's all about opportunity cost. Other people could have made the same choices, but for whatever circumstances or reasons, they just chose not to. That I think those are unfair criticisms. And
no, it is hard sometimes as well. And I kind of get what you're saying, but especially with money issues, I think people are they're so personal about them. And it's much easier, just with almost anything in life, to rather than make a change, it's either easier to bring someone else down and it instantly makes you feel better about yourself. So I kind of get that. And that is kind of where money problems, I think, exist. Probably 80% of money problems are emotional based. So I think that, to me, if I really want to help people, which is my goal, I do have to understand that and focus. So I'm not, you know, yes, I kind of have to agree. Okay, yes, we did have some different circumstances. You could have done the same thing. But I think if I'm too critical, that's when the people, they turn a deaf ear, and then I'm not able to get my message across, which I want to do to begin with. So I think, you know, money, it's kind of a fine line you do have to walk, because a lot of people come into it, they're already discouraged. They already feel that they don't have what it takes to handle money well, and they're just looking for that first way to kind of get out of it. So, they can blame some other circumstance why they can't control their money.
Yes, you brought up something interesting, that they're just looking for a way. And so what would you say would be the first thing that someone needs to do when they think they want to start getting their finances in line?
Well, I think first we need to have a plan in place. Whether it's I want to save money in an emergency fund, whether it's I want money for Christmas, I want to save for my retirement, whatever. If you do not have a plan in place, it's very hard to accomplish your goal. If I were going to take a trip from Georgia to California, I would consult a roadmap to know what points I'm going to encounter along the way. And the same thing holds true with money goals. If you know you don't have a goal to retire one day with money in your IRA, well, it's going to be very hard to invest in IRA and have money because you don't have that as a plan. So I think that's first and foremost. It's just come up with some goals that you want to set for yourself, and they can be both short-term and long-term, and then you're more likely to stick with it as well. It's very, very tempting when Friday night rolls around, friends say, hey, let's go out and grab dinner, grab some drinks, go to the movies, whatever, and it's very easy to spend that money, but if you don't have especially if you don't have a goal in mind. So if you had a goal in mind that, you know what, by this time next month, I want to have $500 in my emergency fund, well, then maybe you're going to say no because you have your eyes on a bigger prize. But first, you know, you have to have that goal in place in order to reach it.
Mm-hmm. I think that is a great start. Now, let's talk about your goal. So at the time when you wrote the first book, your goal was to be able to have your wife be able to stay home and raise your children. And so now we're almost, 8 years later?
Right. And that's why, you know, what kind of wanted me to write another book too, is because a lot had happened since the time I wrote that first book. On my second book, A Simple Book of Financial Wisdom, it came out in 2011. But by that point, we added another daughter to the mix, and Tracy still remained at home, despite living on my teacher's salary. And saying that, in my teacher's salary here in Georgia, I'll say it's about $45,000 a year, give or take, depending on furlough days and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But despite that, we have no debt except our mortgage, which we actually just refinanced, and now it's a 10-year term. So 10 years from now, we're done with that. We invest each month for our retirement, and we're on track to retire as millionaires. We have a one-year emergency fund in place. But for me, most importantly, and this kind of came out of the Great Recession, I feel like Tracy and I were able to do things in life that we kind of wanted to do day to day. I enjoy being a school teacher, and even though the pay isn't that great, that's something that I feel is one of my callings, is to help and teach others. And Tracy felt very strongly about being a stay-at-home mom, and that pays nothing. So I feel like we were able, every day in our lives, we were able to do some of the things that we wanted to do. And that's kind of where I feel like we do live wealthy, even though we may not make a large salary.
Yeah, I think that that's very noble of you guys, but I'm going to make a suggestion that while it may not have had any current monetary rewards, the investment that your wife was able to make in your children by staying at home is going to have infinite returns. So I think that's priceless, personally.
Oh, absolutely. It is. You can't put a price on it. You're right. And we've already seen it. I mean, it's just, I see teachers at school having to drop off their kids at daycare when they're 1 year old, 2 years, and they just hate it. And their quality of life goes down. And they do feel like they're missing something. So I know if you have to work, I totally get it, and that's fine. But we were able to make that choice because we prepared ourselves and put ourselves in that financial situation.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. You know, sometimes it is unavoidable. But if you can have the opportunity to influence your children instead of having somebody else influence them with their values, you know, that's what's great. When we get back from the break, I want to talk about some of your simple financial wisdoms that we can talk about from your latest book. You are listening to Danny Kofke on Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and we'll be right back with more coming up after this.
Commander Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Seminars. What I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Kathy Colby all had coaches, whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Greenback is your neighborhood lender for auto title loans. We offer fast and easy cash title loans for cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Keep your car with title loans from $100 to $50,000. There are no year or mileage limits at Greenback, and we offer the cheapest rates in Arizona, guaranteed. For more information, visit greenbacktitleloans.com or call 480-926-6666.
Are you a referral partner of Unlock Your Wealth Radio? Would you like to promote your products and services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being a part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call 866-966-9420. That's 866-966-9420. Call now.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Danny Kofke on Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your purveyor of prosperity. And let's sprinkle some prosperity on our listeners, Danny. And let's talk about some of the gems that you have assembled in your simple book of financial wisdoms.
Well, we kind of just talked about earlier about, you know, one of the first parts of obtaining financial freedom, and that's to have a plan. And another one, and this to me is what anyone can do, and it's key, and it will help you if you want to start tomorrow, start. But I recommend for 1 month, walk around with a piece of paper and a pencil and write down everything you buy. And then at the end of the month, you can analyze your own personal spending habits, and you can cut back where needed. Because I can give, and I do list some things in my book, you know, the latte factor, don't buy a coffee out, going out to the movies, eating out, whatever it may be, but you may not do those. But most of us in our lives, we have some areas that we overspend in. So when you track your spending and write it down, it is your own handwriting. The numbers don't lie. You wrote them down yourself. And then at the end of the month, you're able to say, gosh, you know, we went to the movies 3 times this month, or we did this or did that. And you can cut back where needed, because let's face it, there's two ways to make more money. Either A, have to get a higher paying job, which it is possible, but for many of us right now, it is a little more difficult than it was 5 or 6 years ago. And that leaves us with option B, and that's where we cut back on what we're spending money on. Because I have talked to a lot of people, and they'll come to me and say, Danny, I just wish I had money for an emergency fund, or I wish I had money to save for retirement, but I'm broke. Yet, they have the newest iPhone. Or they have a Coach bag, or they have new designer clothes, whatever it may be. And I'll tell them, well, you do have money. You're just choosing to spend it in this way. So tracking your spending can help so, so much. And just an easy example of how a little amount can add up really fast. Let's just say during the work week, so only Monday through Friday, you eat lunch out. So we're going to say cheap, fast food, $5 a pop. Now, most of us aren't going to miss $5. We're not even going to think twice about spending that $5. But $5 a day during the work week becomes $25 a week, $100 a month, $1,300 a year. Now, most of us would like to have $1,300 at the end of the year in our pocket. There's Christmas. So that's where, and that's just $5 a day. So that's when you're able to track your spending and write it down and then analyze it, then you can cut back where needed. Maybe you're someone that loves going to Starbucks in the morning and getting your coffee, and that's fine. But there may be another area in your life that you're going to have to cut back on a little bit in order to do that. But at least when you track your spending, you have an idea of where your money is going, because there are so many people out there that have no clue how they're spending their money, and they don't even balance their checkbook. They kind of just check the bank statement at the end of the month and let them do it for them. So that to me is, you just have to take the bull by the horns and then just get real about it and just see where that money is going.
And when you can really tangibly see where that's going, it makes all the difference, I think.
Absolutely. And then sometimes even when you realize that, then you can switch and use a cash-only system. And this isn't easy, but if you're really looking to try to save some money, instead of swiping a piece of plastic through a machine, when you part with the green stuff, it's a lot more difficult for many of us, because we have that emotional attachment. We know how much sweat, how many tears, how early we woke up in the morning went into earning those dollars. And we just have more of a connection than when we do when we just swipe a piece of plastic through a machine.
Yeah, that's why they give you chips in a casino.
Right. There you go.
It totally desensitizes you.
Exactly.
Chips. What is a chip? So what's some other good wisdom?
Well, and then, you know, what I recommend for people to do is, instead, you know, we need to set up that emergency fund. And that, to me, is one of the biggest keys to financial success. And I know there's varying rules of thumb, but a lot of times, to me, this varies depending, you know, on your personality. I think at minimum, we need at least, I would say, in my estimation, I say 6 months. Some people go to 3 months. Some people say 12 months. But I think we need at least 6 months worth of living expenses in an emergency fund. Now, for some of us, that's going to be more. For my family, like I mentioned before, we have a year's worth, because I am pretty much the sole breadwinner, and I have four mouths to feed. And I look at the potential, like, God forbid I go to my job and one day my principal comes in and said, you know what, we lost funding for special education. You don't have a job anymore. Probably not going to happen, not anticipating that to happen, but it could. It's a possibility. Mm-hmm. And I cannot imagine how horrible that would feel and how devastated I would be. But then if I didn't have any money to take care of my family, how much worse it would make it. So having that emergency fund in place can turn what could be, you know, a major catastrophe into an inconvenience instead. And you know, there's people that say, oh, Murphy's Law, I have bad luck. It just, things happen. Well, you know what? If you drive a car long enough, you're going to need to repair it. If you live in a house long enough, something's going to break and you're going to have to get it fixed. It's not bad luck. It's just the way it goes. It would happen to all of us. It's reality. But if you're not prepared and you don't have that emergency fund in place, that's when you're in this vicious cycle. Then you put it on a credit card, you're paying 24% interest. And, you know, once that happens and you're behind that eight ball, it's very, very difficult to get out behind it.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, and you just find yourself falling in deeper and deeper.
Right. And that's it. I mean, if you have let's say you put $5,000 on a credit card, say like 18% APR, and you just made the minimum monthly payment the entire life of the credit card, you know, until the bill was paid off, by the time you're done with that, you'll have spent almost $20,000 on that $5,000 debt. And unfortunately, that's what many of us do. We just look at that minimum payment and what do I need to pay each month? But we don't even think about how much interest we're paying on it. And just think, on a 24% interest card, every dollar you're paying, 24 cents is going to the interest only. It's right. A lot. And when it adds up, so when you know, keep going up, every $1,000 you pay, $240 is going just to interest. So it's like throwing money out the window. So to me, that is, you know, one of the biggest things is establishing that emergency fund. So hopefully you don't have to use those credit cards because you get in a world of trouble when you resort to them.
Yeah, no question. You must be disciplined if you're going to use them. And you have to understand that, you know, money is very, very simple as a tool. We tend to make it more complex than what it is, but we can either collect interest or we can pay interest.
There you go. And it is. And that's where the emotions, I mean, basically, I mean, the key to money success, spend less than you earn. I mean, it's as simple as that. It doesn't take a four-year economics degree. You don't have to have an MBA. Not that difficult on paper. But then when life gets involved, that's where it gets tough. Many of us in our country, we're unhappy, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, with our jobs, with our spouse, whatever. And some people use drugs, some people use alcohol, and other people use money, and they go out and buy things to mask that unhappiness. And it's just a vicious cycle because things become old. And then if you're basing your sense of happiness on a new item, well, there you are. You're going to have to constantly buy something to fuel that unhappiness.
Go get that new adrenaline fix.
Right. And unfortunately, that's what happens. I mean, you think we now have a fragrance, the new car smell fragrance, because we want our cars to smell new. So it's just, we're addicted to that. And it's, you know, it's understandable. If I go out and buy a new outfit, the first five or six times I wear it, it does feel good. But after seven or eight times, you know, you look in the closet and say, I don't have anything to wear. Yet you have 100 shirts sitting in there. And at one time you bought them. So it's just, when the newness wears off, then it is tough. And when you're basing your sense of well-being on that, gosh, it's just it's a vicious cycle. And that's the thing. I mean, yes, money is an issue there, but really that's not the bottom line. There is something else. And I think with a lot of people that do have money issues, there's something else that's going on there. And then money is just kind of the outlet they're using.
No question. It's never about the money, because we know to spend less and save more, but we actively choose not to. So.
Right, right. It's, you know, and same thing. I mean, money to me and weight problems go hand in hand, whereas, you know, we have all the nutritional information for pretty much any piece of food we put into our mouths here in America, yet nearly 2/3 of our country are overweight or obese. Well, why is that? Well, it's the same reason why we go to the store and buy something on credit when we know we don't have the money to pay for it. It fuels something inside of us for that momentary, you know, period of time. But then when the bill comes the next month, or the weight gain comes the next week when you eat unhealthily, then, you know, that's when you have to pay the price. So that's just where I think a lot of people, they do struggle. It's just money problems. There's something else going on, and it's just masking something.
Yeah. Wow. Well, your wisdom is always appreciated here. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show again. If folks want to get either of your or both of your books, how can they go about finding you and your resources?
Probably the easiest way. I do have a blog page, but probably the easiest way, if you just Google or Bing search me at Danny Kofke, D-A-N-N-Y-K-O-F as in Frank, K-E. And usually the first thing that pops up is my blog page. And then there's also many other things you can see. And then on my blog page, there's direct links to order my book, email me, and see some of my media appearances as well.
Outstanding. Well, you know, I just applaud you for what you have chosen to do with your life and your marriage and your family. And I think that took a lot of courage, because not many people can see the intrinsic value of the choices that you made. They only see the surface things that you gave up and not the value that you were able to retain from your choices. So I think it's just wonderful to see what you've done with yourself. And I'm so proud of you, and congratulations with your upcoming book. As soon as the literary agent gets it placed, I'm excited for that. And we'll have to have you on again.
Absolutely. I would love to be back on, Heather. Thank you so much for having me back on. I really appreciate it. And good luck to you, too, with your book coming out.
Yay. Thank you. Well, we'll have you back anytime. And for those of you who are driving around without a pencil, never fear. UnlockYourWealthRadio.com is here. And you can visit Danny's show page and get all the linky links to his blog and books and good stuff. Stay tuned. We have so much more in store for you coming up on Unlock Your Wealth Radio right after this.
Commander Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Seminars. What I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Kathy Colby all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Greenback is your neighborhood lender for auto title loans. We offer fast and easy cash title loans for cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Keep your car with title loans from $100 to $50,000. There are no year or mileage limits at Greenback, and we offer the cheapest rates in Arizona, guaranteed. For more information, visit greenbacktitleloans.com or call 480-926-6666.
Are you a referral partner of Unlock Your Wealth Radio? Would you like to promote your products and services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being a part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call 866-966-9420. That's 866-966-9420. Call now.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Awesome Wagenhals, and I am also flanked by Mr. Jeremy Shane himself.
Yep, I'm right, her.
Thank you. We're glad to have you, her. It is now time for your favorite segment, the Keys to Riches. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. We're so glad to have you aboard. The Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money. It also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, eliminate debt, Save and invest, building wealth while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do that 1 week at a time, one key at a time. And you are here for the very first key, which means you are joining the Whistle Stop Tour through financial wellness at the beginning. We're on our first city. And this key is acceptance and affirmation. So, Jeremy, Shane, when you've been through a full season now, so you know each and every key. So when we did acceptance and affirmation, how do you think that helps someone get ready to rock their finances?
Well, that's the first step in the whole thing. You got to recognize.
Yes. Well put. You got to recognize. Many times we don't even think about our money. We just kind of get up and go through every day, and we usually wish we had more, and we struggle to pay the bills. But it never occurs to us that that's not how it should be, that that's kind of fundamentally wrong. So we get up and we go through it every day, every day, every day. We want it to be different. But until we actually acknowledge a few things about ourselves and our finances, we're never going to get where we want to go, because you can't address a problem unless you acknowledge that you have one to begin with. So that's the importance of this week's key is, or one of the important things of this week's key is accepting where you are. Denial is a nice, warm, fuzzy blanket, and many of us like staying curled up in it. And until something catastrophic happens, we usually don't come out of that blanket. And having the opportunity to accept where we are gives us the means to get where we want to go, because it's that first action step we take. Now, it's tough because first we have to admit we have a problem. And sometimes that in and of itself is a problem, because nobody wants to admit they failed at anything, do they?
Of course not.
Well, so we've got that keeps us from accepting our current position. By accepting it may also mean that now we have to do something about it. Because if we deny, like when we go look in the mirror and we see how fat our fanny is, or how our belt has to be loosened a couple of notches because it doesn't fit where it originally did when you bought it, you know, you just kind of amble through life. And if you actually look in the mirror and acknowledge it, you might be upset with yourself. But acceptance doesn't mean agreement or approval. It doesn't mean that it's okay that you're fat or that you're broke or that you're in debt. Acceptance doesn't mean it only means acknowledgement. And when we had Nathaniel Brandon on a couple years ago to kick off the season for this week's key, he spoke to that point, especially in his book with the six pillars of self-esteem. He established that acceptance is you must accept where you are in order to make a change. And that goes with anything in your life. But specifically with our finances, we have to admit we have a problem. Well, maybe we were wrong. What we learned about money was wrong. Maybe we don't know anything and didn't bother to learn either, and that's why we're in trouble. Or, you know, perhaps we're starting out for the first time and we're fearful of making a mistake. So accepting where we are gives us the fortitude to get where we want to go. The challenge is not over, though. Do you know why?
I'd be willing to bet you're going to tell me.
If you ask nicely.
Okay, please.
There you go. Well, but absolutely, I would love to answer that question. So the reason why the challenge still exists after we make our acceptance is more likely we're not in high school or even college. We're like out in the real world. And so we've got time on the clock. And having time on the clock means that we've had habits and behaviors that have been reinforced, and we've also had a lot of negative stigmas. So if your family didn't come from money and you're working class, you might get caught up in the family adage, well, we're just blue-collar people, and that's what we do. Or you're busy hating rich people. The only way to get rich is to beg, borrow, or steal it. And I'm not going to do that. Or you can't make money without working hard. So you have all of these hurdles that you have to overcome. Or if you've made mistakes with money in the past, and maybe you had a parent or a sibling or a significant other that just said, you suck at money. And then you take that on yourself and you start telling yourself, oh my God, I'm terrible with money. I suck at money. I suck at money. Who am I to think that, like, okay, I just admitted that I had a problem and I've accepted that I need to make a change in my life, but I'm not good at money. So how am I supposed to get good? And it's because we're sitting there and we've taken from others this negative stigma and we've repeated it and reinforced it. And it doesn't matter what we do. When we repeat things, good, bad, or indifferent, it sets up and reinforces patterns. And so what we're going to have to do is unwind some of those negative patterns that we may have. And so the way we do that to start building back our self-esteem and give us the confidence to move forward is to start using affirmations. But affirmations don't always work. Affirmations may not be targeted at the right things. And so I wrote a whole chapter on affirmations and how powerful affirmations can be in helping you transform where you are currently into where you want to go. But they have to have structure. And so they're called the six P's for affirmation success. And these affirmations have to meet this criteria in order for them to be effective. Otherwise, you're just wasting your time using affirmations that are not relevant or actually addressing the issues that you might have challenges with. So do you know what those six P's are?
Why don't you tell me?
Well, I expected you to remember from last season because you already know them.
That was like last season.
So the fact that it was 13 weeks ago is a minor technicality.
A lot happens in 13 weeks.
All right. Well,
Do you remember them?
Well, yeah, I wrote them.
Then why are you looking for them?
I'm not looking for them. I was just giving you an opportunity to shine.
Oh, okay.
So let's start with the first P in the affirmation process. First, it has to be personal. It has to be about you. It can't be about someone else. You can't make an affirmation about, you know, my child is getting good grades because that's out of your control. It's got to be about you. It's got to be personal and relevant to you. So it's got to start with I or me or my. Okay. Then the second is it has to be present tense as if it's already happening. And the reason why it has to be like that is because the brain is always a few seconds ahead. That's why, you know, sleight of hand magic tricks work so well is because the brain isn't thinking about the here and now. The brain is anticipating the next step. And so if you program the brain to believe it is where you want it to be, then it's going to be thinking about how to get to the next step automatically. And that just furthers you along your cause. So instead of putting it out into the future, which never happens because when the future gets here, it's now again, we want it to be now. So we make it present tense. Now it has to be stated in the positive. We want to affirm what we want, not what we don't want. Okay. So if we want something, we have to explicitly state it. So if we want to be rich, we can't say, I don't want to be poor, because you got to state what it is you want. Plus, the brain doesn't hear the word no. So if you took out don't in that, you would have what? I want to be poor. So we want to make sure that we're stating what it is that we do want, because we can't take action on a no, so we take action on the next action word. So our action words, our verbs need to be in the present tense, and they have to be positive, what it is that you do want. Now, they also have to be within your power. So saying, I am a lottery winner, or, you know, I am the winner of Wednesday's lottery is not likely to happen because you have no control on how those little ping pong balls come up. So it has to be within your power, something you can control. Okay. So then the next P in the affirmation process is that it has to be possible. Okay. So it's got to be something that you can create on your own or enjoying the help of others, but it has to be possible and something that's accomplishable. It is likely that you could become a millionaire if you put the right pieces of the puzzle in place. If you expect it to happen tomorrow without winning the lottery, it's not so likely. And then the final P is it has to be practiced, okay? Because that is how our neural pathways get carved in our brain. And because the brain is basically lazy, we want to make sure that we get it pre-programmed in. Because the brain is basically lazy, it loves to create these maps and patterns in the neural pathways so it can be set on autopilot. And so if we're trying to deprogram our crappy behavior, we have to reinforce it because the world doesn't exist in a vacuum with positive behavior. And one of the ways to do that, to ingratiate a new neural pathway, is through repetition. But repeating your affirmations also serves another purpose too. So it also not only helps you supplant and carve that neural pathway into your brain for automatic subconscious activity, you need to have saying it all the time, because we want to enjoin our conscious mind in the process of creating transformation for ourselves also. And so by saying it all the time and repetitively throughout the day and at particular times, it helps us to get the buy-in. And the best thing to do with affirmations is to refocus your brain anytime you have a negative interaction with someone. So your baseline is right before bed, because it'll go right into your subconscious mind, and then your brain can work on it all night long. And then when you wake up rested and refreshed, you want to get your conscious mind refocused on those affirmations by talking about your higher purpose of the day. It's not rolling over and kissing your spouse. It's not letting the dog out, getting the kids ready for school. You've got to do that. First thing is you roll out of bed, you pull out your affirmation log, and you get going on your affirmations to, again, focus yourself on your higher purpose. And then anytime you encounter negativity throughout the day, that can take your focus away from you. And sometimes people rain on your parade on purpose because they know you're having a great day and they're jealous because they can't seem to figure out why you're doing so well. So anytime we encounter negativity, after the negative event has occurred, we want to refocus ourselves and refocus our conscious mind on where it is that we want to go, so we don't let people deter us from our path, because it's easy to let people get in the way of what it is you say you truly want. And the only way to do that is to keep it at the forefront, you know, the whole out of sight, out of mind thing. So that's my justification for having a messy desk, because I'm afraid if I put something away and it's not finished, then I won't get around to it.
Or you might find what's underneath and be scared.
I don't have anything scary in here.
Just saying.
Are you scared?
I might be. Quit moving papers.
Like that? Ooh, scary. A bat might come out. Dunk you on the head with its wing. You need a good dunking. So that's it for this week's key for acceptance and affirmation. For this week's key statement, key affirmation, and key action item, please visit our website at unlockyourwealthradio.com and click on this week's key tab. And for those of you who are not so good at generating affirmations or not as clever as our singer-songwriter Jeremy Shane, we have a structured format and we have some sample affirmations that you can start and incorporate them into your life right now to create the positive change you want to see. For more in-depth interviews with money experts, strategies, and members-only tools to fix your credit, get out of debt, and have more money and happiness, do what other savvy listeners have, and visit unlockyourwealthradio.com, where you go to get your money mind right so your wealth and happiness will follow. For Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I'm Heather Wagenhals.
And I'm Jeremy Shane.
And go out and unlock your wealth today.
Okay.
UnlockYourWealthRadio.com is produced by Shane Murphy. UnlockYourWealthRadio.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2013 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com.